The rest of the message was that the Lord has been on the side of His people down through the centuries. He's been on the side of His people eternally. He certainly is on the side of His people from the standpoint of the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. He was on the side of David. He was on the side of Paul. We could take a look at the life of Christ tonight and see how He was with His Son. You know, in Acts chapter 10, we find where the Apostle Peter speaks to Cornelius. He says in verse 38, he says that God was with Jesus. Jesus went about doing good, casting out devils and unclean spirits, for God was with him. In that sense, we find that the Father was with the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son, and on the Son's side. With that thought in mind, I'd like to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. 2 Chronicles 32. We're also going to take a look at 2 Kings, chapter 18 and 19. Both these books are going to contain similar information about this event that we'd like to take a look at. But to give you a little background here, we find that the king of Judah is a man by the name of Hezekiah. And the kingdom of Israel has been divided into the northern kingdom and also into the southern kingdom. And the northern kingdom never had a good king, never. The southern kingdom had a good king and a bad king, and a good king and a bad king. Hezekiah was one of those good kings of Judah. It's a portion here to begin with in 2 Kings chapter 18. Speaking of Hezekiah, he was 25 years old when he began to reign. He's going to reign for 29 years in Jerusalem. Verse 3, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places, and broke the images, and cut down the groves, and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For in those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. Let me just pause here for a second. If you remember the story of the brazen serpent, that was a blessing of God. And after the event of the brazen serpent, where God enable those that had been bitten by literal serpents to look upon and were healed, they turn it into an idol. Oftentimes, God's people turns God's blessings into idols. That can happen every day. Some of the blessings that God gives you and God gives me, if we're not careful, we can turn that blessing into an idol. Certainly, this earth is blessed by the sun and the moon and stars, and men have turned them into idols. God blesses us to earn income to support our family. If we're not careful, we can turn money into an idol. You can turn family members into an idol. And you can become an idol to your own self. And so it can become an idol. What we find here where Hezekiah broke in pieces that brazen serpent. Then we come to verse 5. He trusted in the Lord and God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord, and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria, and served him not. That's a lot of wonderful things said about this man, this king. But we're going to find that the king of Assyria is going to begin to conquer many nations, and he's going to conquer Israel to the north. They'd been in great disobedience to God, and God has, exercised his judgment upon them, allowing this king to arise. And he's like a giant bulldozer. Everything in his pathway, he's just steamrolling. He's taking city after city and nation after nation. No one's been able to rise up against the king of Assyria. The Assyrian nation at this time was one of the most powerful nations that mankind had ever known. And now the king of Assyria comes down into Judah, where King Hezekiah is upon the throne. He's going to approach Judah, and he's going to send messengers down there to try to intimidate them and to try to get them basically to surrender without a battle. But Hezekiah has got some good words for the Israelites. We notice in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verses 7 and 8, Hezekiah, speaking to the people, says, "Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. And of course, that's a key expression. Fits into our subject this morning of the Lord being on our side. That's what Hezekiah is saying here. He's saying the Lord is on our side. Don't become intimidated by this king. Don't become intimidated by the reputation. Don't become intimidated by the multitude, by the numbers. Yes, he was very, very impressive. And he didn't hesitate to bring that message against the Israelites. And we won't take time to read this. It's rather a lengthy passage in these two different books tonight. But you'll find when the messengers came, they spoke very loudly, so even the Jews that were upon the wall could hear their words. It went beyond the messengers that Israel sent out. And they spoke in the Hebrew tongue. And their words were to strike fear into the minds and hearts of the Israelites. But Hezekiah now is telling them to be strong and courageous. And if you read through this story hurriedly, you're going to miss out on so many wonderful truths. We find in the book of Romans where Paul says the things written aforetime was written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. These were real people. This was a real event. This is the true and living God intervening on behalf of his people in the Old Testament day. He is going to stand up for them. He's going to be on their side. Now, this king of Assyria, again, is a very impressive king with his army and his people, and he is fighting the warfare to begin with mentally, you know, to intimidate. That's a tactic of the enemy that's been used successfully down through the centuries. It's a tactic of the devil himself to intimidate God's people and strike fear in their minds and in their hearts. But Hezekiah says, be strong and courageous. Now, to Bible readers, you know this is not the first time you've read such language as this. You're going to find this is the very language of Moses to the nation of Israel. It's the very language of Moses to Joshua. And the very language of God to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. You're going to find in each of those cases where Moses will tell Israel to be strong and courageous, and be not dismayed. Now, of course, that tells me that I can very easily be weak. I can very easily be dismayed. I can very easily have fear when I face certain situations. But here's what David said again in Psalms 118, verse 6. He says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What shall man do to me? When you can fully realize that the Lord is on your side, it pushes fear out, gives you peace, and you can say, when David, what can man do to me if the Lord is on my side? Now, I believe this applies to us today as individuals, applies to us as a church. It would apply to us as a nation. I think it has applied to us as a nation in years past. I don't know if it applies to us as a nation today, because we have departed from the Lord, and I don't believe we're on the Lord's side. As our nation was, I think, you know, 200 years ago, maybe 100 years ago, or less time than that. But we cannot be on the Lord's side with all the major departures we've made as a nation. But anyway, we find this is familiar language. Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed. He said, for there be more with us than with him. Now, taking that statement by itself, it's not true. Taking that statement by itself and just numbering the people of Israel and numbering the Assyrian army, that was not true. Remember when God reminded the Israelites that he did not choose them because they were greater in number. Deuteronomy chapter 7. In fact, he says, you're the fewest in number. They found themselves outnumbered time and time and time again as far as an army was concerned, as far as the people was concerned. But when they were obedient to the Lord, then the Lord was on their side, and therefore there was always more with Israel than it was with the enemy. And that's what Hezekiah is saying here. The Lord is going to be on their side. Hezekiah has been a good king. He's done many wonderful things, and now he faces a great challenge from this king here. And to me, he's a picture of the devil or Satan himself and the attacks that Satan brings upon God's people. So be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. People like to, you know, count numbers. For there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. When we were building our building, I mentioned this more than once, but I want to remind you once again, in the process of relocating and building our building, we faced tremendous challenges all along the way. It was not an easy path to take. It was not an easy journey. But remember, I tried to remind you time and time again that we had the Lord to help us, that the Lord could take the minds and hearts of all the Goodlettsville officials and all the people about permits and White House water and TDOT and all the people we've had to deal with and the contractors, subcontractors, etc. And the Lord could turn their hearts to favor us. And I believe we have an abundant amount of evidence that the Lord heard those prayers and the Lord intervened and the Lord was with us and the Lord blessed us to reach our goal and to be here tonight. Surely if we don't believe that, then how are we going to give God the praise and the honor for it? I'm confident about that. I'm totally confident about what I've just said to you. I mean, I was in it every step of the way, all those committees and everything we went through and the challenges and the things that could have brought fear into our minds and hearts had we not kept looking upward and kept looking to the God of glory. Now, how did the people respond? And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Hezekiah is using God's words here. Remember, I told you this is not the first time that you read these words. If you're reading through the scriptures, you've been paying close attention. And you know, the best thing I can do to you is give you God's words. Now, my words don't mean anything, apart from God's word. My opinion is no better, no worse, maybe, than your opinion. But this is not a place for opinions. This is not a place for speculation. This is a place presenting the word of God that represents God in every way so that you can fully put your trust in the Lord, that you can rest in the words of the Lord. Now, Hezekiah said the words, but these were God's words. These are words that God had spoken to Israel, spoke to Joshua. Hezekiah no doubt had read those words. He was familiar with those words. And he reminds them that the Lord is with them. He will fight our battles for us. We will rest upon these words. And the people did that. Now, let's go back over to 2 Kings and go to chapter 19. And you're going to find three messages and three thrones in this story. You're going to find the throne of the king of Assyria. You're going to find the throne of the king of Judah. And you're going to find the throne of Almighty God. Two earthly thrones and a heavenly throne. You're going to find three messages. The first message I've already given to you is a message that the king of Assyria brought unto the people of Israel. And in that message, he tried to direct them away from the words of Hezekiah. He tried to point out to them that no other nation had been able to withstand them. He says, no other gods have been able to stop us. And that was absolutely true, because all the gods of those other nations were lifeless gods. And they had no power with them other than human power. And the king of Assyria is very successful. He points this out, and the record was true. He presented an accurate picture of what had been going on as he'd been conquering nation after nation, city after city. Nobody had been able to stand against him and withstand him and to keep from being defeated. That was a true record. And he was trying to get the people, let that absorb in their minds, to intimidate them and strike great fear in their minds and in their hearts. This world can do that apart from the word of God. You know, there's a lot of wonderful things said about this word. But if you will stay with this word, it'll keep you from sin. On the other hand, if you're in sin, it'll keep you from this word. Remember that. Sin will keep you from the word, but the word will keep you from sin. And the word of God will drive fear out of your mind and fear out of your heart and bring peace into your soul. It'll give you strength and it'll give you courage. I believe in this present day in which we live, it'd be wise for all of us to pray to God daily for strength and courage and wisdom. And I do that. I've tried to do that on a regular basis. Lord, give me courage for this day. Lord, give me strength for this day. Help me to do the things that I need to do. And Lord, give me wisdom. Give me understanding of your word and give me wisdom to direct this people. Give me wisdom to lead as I need to lead. Because I'm telling you, it's a discouraging world that we're living in. I'm telling you, I just dread the fact we got to wait a year and a half for the next election. You got to hear all this kind of stuff going on for a year and a half. And I'm going to purposely limit my exposure to it. I'm just not going to sit there and listen to every debate. I'm not going to sit there and listen to every report. Now, I'll stay up and tune enough with it to be informed and that kind of stuff. But that kind of stuff can beat you down. And for a year and a half, every day, you're going to hear about this candidate and that candidate, one thing or another. And, of course, it's a verbal battle going on a daily basis out here. And if that's going to be what, if you're a sponge and you're absorbing all of that, it's a wonder you can walk a straight line. That's the truth. And it's just a wonder that you can have any stability in your life whatsoever. And I'm encouraging you not to do that. I'm encouraging you to be an informed person, to make an informed, an intelligent decision when the time comes. But don't absorb your life with that. Absorb your life with this. The Apostle Paul said to the Colossians, he said, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. Now, if the word of Christ is going to dwell richly in you, you've got to dwell in the word of God. That's the only way that'll happen. You've got to dwell in the word for the word to dwell in you. And that's exactly what we're seeing here. Hezekiah did wise in presenting the words of God to the Israelites. You know, if Hezekiah went out there and said, listen, don't worry about it. I'm the king here. I'll take matters in my own hands. You don't have to worry as long as I'm sitting upon the throne. I don't believe the people would arrest him in that kind of message. I sure would not have. But when he presented them the words of God, when he presented them the words that God would fight our battles for us, that God would be with us, and there's more with us than with him, then the people rested upon the words of Hezekiah. Now, there's three messages here. The message of the king of Assyria to the Israelites that we've kind of gone over, and the message of Hezekiah to the Israelites. Well, let's take a message now of the word of God, which is the third message, and it also teaches me that God always has the last word. Aren't you glad about that? You know, I've seen some people, they just always got to have the last word. You know what I mean? There's no way to end it with some people because they've got to have the last word. If you respond to that, they're going to come back. They've got to have the last word. Well, I'm thankful to tell you tonight that God has the last word. Man will not have the last word. God has the last word. You know, Job thought one time he might have the last word. And he said, oh, that I knew where I might find him. I'd fill my mouth with arguments. And so the Lord allowed him to find him. And the Lord asked him 56 consecutive questions. And after it was all over with, Job just put his hand upon his mouth and said, I'm just a vile man. Job no longer wanted to have the last word. And so God's going to have the last word when it comes to the end of this world. God's going to have the last word about many different things. Then God had the last word right here. Notice the language of God now. In 2 Kings 19, in verse 21, this is the word that the Lord has spoken concerning him, the king of Assyria. Well, let me back up here, actually to verse 19. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord and God, even thou only. Now, in the closing words here of King Hezekiah, notice that it's the glory of God that's under consideration. In fact, let us back up just a little bit, before that, and go back to verse 14, when Hezekiah goes to the Lord. Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it, and Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Here's a man of wisdom. He takes it to the house of the Lord, and he spreads it before the Lord. That's an Old Testament expression you find several times. You'll find it in the life of Solomon, how he spread his case before the Lord. I'd encourage all of you tonight in my own self, on a regular basis, to go to our own closets and spread our case before the Lord. That's just simply saying that you're pouring out your heart to God, you're relieving your mind to God, you're putting in the hands of God and trusting God and having faith in God. So he spread it before the Lord, and Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Words of great truth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. He says, this man has come and is reproaching you. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands. Again, he brought an accurate report. And have cast their gods into the fire. For they were no gods but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Now this is a wonderful prayer of Hezekiah. It's a biblical prayer. It's a scriptural prayer. It's a prayer that Hezekiah is praying on behalf of the children of Israel, yes, but also for the glory of God. This king had come and reproached the true and living God. This king doesn't understand that the God of the nation of Israel is not going to be like the gods of those other nations he's been facing. Those were lifeless gods, but this God here spoke the heaven and the earth into existence. This God here formed the nation of Israel, created the nation of Israel. This God here done miracle after miracle after miracle on behalf of this nation. The Lord God who, again, brought everything into existence is going to be on behalf and on the side of the nation of Israel. He doesn't know who he is opposing. Then we find the Lord speaking. Verse 20, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Now we've heard language from two earthly thrones. Let's hear the language of the throne of heaven. That which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. This is the word the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. You may have, plundered all these other cities. You may have run roughshod over all these other nations. But now it's a different situation. Even the virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head at thee. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? Against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high? Even against the Holy One of Israel. I love this language of God here. He's just simply saying, you don't know who you're talking against. You don't understand who you have reproached. This is the Holy One of Israel that you now have come in opposition to. By thy messengers thou hast reproached the Lord and hast said, with the multitude of my chariots, I am come up to the height of the mountains, to the sides of Lebanon, and will cut down the tall cedar trees thereof and the choice fir trees thereof. And I will enter into the lodgings of his borders, into the forest of his Carmel. I have digged and drunk strange waters, and with the sole of my feet have I dried up all the rivers of besieged places. Hast thou not heard long ago how I have done it, and of ancient times I have formed it? Now have I brought it to pass, and thou shouldest be to lay waste fenced cities unto ruinous heaps. Therefore their inhabitants were small power. They were dismayed and confounded. There was the grass of the field, as the green herb, as the grass on the housetops, as corn blasted before it be grown up. But I know thy abode, and thy going out, and thy coming in, and thy rage against me. The Lord's letting him know that he's omniscient. Because thy rage against me and thy atonement has come up into mine ears, therefore I will put my hook in thy nose and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way which thou camest. It sounds like the Lord is not very well pleased with this king of Assyria, and he means business. He said, I'm going to put my hook in your nose, I'm going to put my bridle in your lips, and I'm going to turn you back by the way which you came. And this shall be a sign unto thee, ye shall eat this year such thing as grow themselves, and the second year that which spring of the same, and the third year now, sow ye and reap and plant in vineyards, eat the fruits thereof. And the remnant that's escaped to the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. What a reply. What a promise of God. Says he's not going to come into the city. He's not even shoot an arrow at it. I'm going to turn him around by putting a hook in his nose and a bridle on his lips, and I'm going to turn him to go right back in the same direction in which he came. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Whose side does it sound like the Lord is on? I believe he's on the side of Israel, is he not? And it shall come to pass, and it came to pass that night, that the angel of the Lord went out and smote the camp of the Syrians, 185,000, that's 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpse. Kind of interesting expression, dead corpse. I never have seen a live corpse, but it's I guess interesting to say, they were all dead corpse, 185,000 of them. Because God sent an angel on behalf of the nation of Israel. So the king of Assyria departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass that he was worshiping the house of Nisroch, his god, that two of his sons smote him with the sword. They escaped to the land of Armenia, and Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. Everything came to pass exactly like the Lord said. The words of Hezekiah were true words. The people rested in it. When he said, be more with us than it is with them. Had not God intervened, surely the king of Syria would have been successful. But he was turned away and he was turned back. He went back to his city. His own son slew him. And an angel came down and slew 185,000 of them. And so tonight I hope that you will go home at least with a thought in your mind. If the Lord is on your side, who can be against you? If the Lord is on your side, to whom shall you fear? If the Lord is your light and salvation and the strength of your life, to whom should you be afraid? The Apostle Paul said in Hebrews 13:5 that we can boldly say that the Lord is our helper.